Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. So today the topic is calmness and relaxation, as you might have guessed from the meditation. And I was thinking that this might be really nice with the holidays coming up, because when we're with our family and stuff, things can come up and we might be super busy and aggravations with family members and whatnot. So some calmness and relaxation might be interesting. And these qualities of the mind, the calmness, the relaxation that can lead into concentration or collectedness, are very wholesome states of mind. And wholesome means leading towards happiness and away from suffering. And unwholesome means that it leads towards unhappiness and suffering. Wholesomeness is about the intention to do good and to develop benevolence. So in that way, the development of calmness itself is also a way to develop the good, to develop the wholesome. And the beauty of the calmness is that if we feel calm and relaxed, then it's more likely that other beneficial qualities of mind can also arise, like maybe kindness, wisdom, happiness. And that's also really useful in during the holidays, of course. Because you can imagine if you're stressed out and you meet with your family later this week, that if a family member makes some annoying comment, that you start to react in an unwise way, maybe. Well, if you would feel just calm and relaxed, then the comment might not affect you as much. So you might think, oh, that's typically so and so, just let it go. So the effect of just cultivating some calm and relaxation can be significant, can really be supportive. So we might think like developing this actively might be, directing our lives too much, but the Buddha actually advised us to actively work on these kind of qualities, actively or let them arise. And there are different ways in which we can develop some calm and relaxation. Like during the meditation today, we developed some calmness through the breath meditation, really focusing on the breath. And that's an really excellent and very well-known way of cultivating this. Another way could be the loving kindness meditation, metta meditation. Give our full attention to, for example, the phrases or the feeling of metta or the person that we're doing the metta for. And in this way, when our full attention is on something, then it can our everyday life can kind of fade away in the background a little bit, which gives us a little space from the concerns of our daily life. And if we do the metta, then if you're not so familiar with it is done by reciting phrases of loving kindness towards different categories of beings, usually. For example, you send the phrase, "May you be happy," to someone who's dear to you, or even to a stranger in the street, or even to your enemy. Those are different kind of categories that we can work through. We can offer the wishes to ourselves. May I be happy, or healthy, or at peace. In essence, it's also a way of directing our attention. If we would do the metta meditation officially to cultivate concentration, deep states of concentration, then we would focus on the being that we would do the metta for. But if we do it just in our daily lives, we can focus on the feeling of the warmth in our hearts, or we can focus on the phrase or on the being, that just what feels most natural to us. And then a third way to cultivate some calmness and relaxation is also the walking meditation. Because then we also focus on one thing, which is the moving foot, which can also help to calm the body and the mind. I think I gave a talk on that earlier this year, how that helps to calm our minds. And utilizing this calming practice, like the breath or the metta or the walking, is in a way like pressing a pause button on our lives. We can take a moment to not worry about our lives, not deal with it or face it. And that can be very beneficial, because in the Vipassana, in the insight meditation, we are used to facing everything all the time, just really looking at it. All the pleasant and all the unpleasant aspects of our reality. But sometimes we might need to just pause for a moment and just not worry about it. Really give ourselves permission to not deal with stuff for a moment. And the interesting thing what I've noticed is if we do that, if we really pay attention to the breath for a while, or really only to the metta or the walking, that some things just dissipate in the background. It's like just quite remarkable. It can just be gone when we return to our normal way. And it doesn't always happen, of course. And there's plenty of times that we just have to deal with whatever we left before we push the pause button. But if it does happen, then it's a nice surprise. And the advantage of the metta practice over the other types of calming meditation is that when we do the metta, we also get the added benefit of the warm-heartedness with it. That our hearts warm a little bit when we do the metta. And there are different ways in which we can use these calming practices. And the first way is like we did it today, like we're really gonna sit for it, and we're really gonna do this for certain amount of time that we set beforehand. And just focus on the breath for the whole duration, or on the metta or the walking for like a whole duration of a session. And we can also start, which is what I suggested at some point, like at some point we switch to Vipassana. So we do 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes of calming meditation, and then switch to Vipassana, or however long we decide. And this is an interesting way, because then we get the benefits of the calmness when we start the Vipassana. And the calmness can really support our Vipassana, our insight meditation, because our minds are just a little bit more stable and at ease compared to where we just start off with Vipassana. So it can be a really nice combination. So we can do this on our meditation cushion or in our walking practice, but we can also do this in our daily lives. Like randomly during the day, you can take a moment to just focus on the breath. Gil Fronsdal is the teacher who you're listening to when I'm not here. He has an exercise that you can use almost everywhere. And he calls it, I think, the three breath journey. And it's been a while that I heard him talk about it. So I'm not 100% sure if I'm doing exactly how he teaches it, but this is how I use it. So maybe we can try this right away. And this can be done with eyes open or closed, it doesn't matter. And you know, sometimes we can't close our eyes, so it's nice to also, you know, practice this with your eyes open. For example, when you're with your family in the hall during the holiday, you can't close your eyes, or when you're in a Zoom room or something. So what you do is you put all of your attention on the next inhale. Feel all the tiny experiences of the inhalation. Coolness in the nostrils, pressure in the chest or the abdomen, whatever it is that you feel. And then you put all your attention on the exhalation, becoming aware of all the small changes that the exhalation causes. And then you do this 3 times with all of your attention on the inhale, the exhale. Done that, then you might be able to feel any calming or grounding effect of this exercise. Or maybe it doesn't make much difference since we just meditated a lot already. But it can be an easy way of grounding a little bit when you're really busy and a lot is going on in the mind and or in your life in general. And whenever you're a little bit stressed or unsettled, you can use this. I found that the mind clears up and that I'm more present when I do this exercise. And sometimes even some irritation or some of the stress or anxiety or anger or whatever it is may have subsided a little bit after doing this exercise, which is really nice if it works. Sometimes it doesn't, which is also fine. And we can also cultivate the loving kindness in our daily lives, the metta, by using those phrases, like taking a little metta break. For example, when we, you know, just go about our lives and we just send a wish to ourselves, may I be well. May I be happy. Or when we're just walking on the street or driving in our car and we just wish it to other people that we come across or at work or with our family later this week, maybe if you're going to visit family or friends. Just wishing the others well or happiness or health. A really easy way to just take a little bit of a break and feel the warmth in your heart. And we can also use this in our daily lives, we can also use the walking practice. Like, we walk a lot during our lives, even if it's just getting up from the couch and going to the fridge to get a drink. You know, we're just walking, and then we can just pay attention to the movement of the body. We might not want to focus really specifically on the feet, but just the whole movement of the body or the movement of the lower half of the body. And then instead of just wandering off in thoughts while you go get your drink, you know, you could say pay attention to your body, to the movement. And when we walk from the parking lot to our job or to the store or just to our front door, we can use it as an opportunity to focus on the body and cultivate some calm and relaxation in our daily lives. And so just tiny little drops of calmness that we can just sprinkle throughout the day, throughout our daily lives. And then I do like to mention that this calm and this relaxation, the concentration or collectedness, These are not states of mind that are the end goal of this path. They are simply supporting us. They're supporting qualities on our path. And they can support us in our daily lives and in our meditation practice. And the goal that we might be working towards depends on, everyone has a different goal, I guess, but for most of us, or for some of us, it's to experience less and less suffering and to be more happy and at peace. And developing calmness is a helpful tool in this endeavor, since it's such a wholesome quality, as I described earlier. And Sayadaw Utejaniya is a Burmese monk, one of my teachers. He says, if we continuously cultivate a wholesome quality of mind, that wholesome quality will become stronger, and it will become more natural, and it will come more naturally to the mind. It will become a habit of the mind, and it become a power of the mind. And then Buddha also mentions in the suttas, whatever one frequently thinks and ponders upon, that will become the inclination of the mind. So if we pay attention to unwholesome qualities, if we cultivate those, then those become our habit. But if we start cultivating and paying attention to beneficial qualities, such as the calmness, but could also be kindness or compassion, peace, wisdom, happiness, and then those qualities can become habits of mind. It's also what they say in the neuroscience nowadays, that we can reconnect new neurological networks in our brains. And we can do that by using our attention and using meditations like these that we did today, that I've been talking about. So we can just use this as much as we like or need, or not use it. All is good. And we can just use our Vipassana meditation as well, because also the Vipassana contributes to wholesomeness, and in its own way it contributes to calmness and relaxation as well. Because Sayadaw Utejaniya, again, he points out, feeling relaxed is really about being free of expectation and anxiety. You can only be totally relaxed when the mind is free of craving or aversion. So when the difference in the approach to being free from expectation, anxiety, craving, aversion, is that when we do calming practices, we temporarily kind of suppress those qualities of mind. And through insight practice, through Vipassana meditation, we start to see the habits and patterns in the mind that lead to those qualities. And in this way, wisdom can start to develop, insight can start to develop. And that can help to let go of these patterns. So calming meditation is more of a temporary suppression, while insight meditation can lead to breakthrough insights. Now, these are not easy to get, those breakthrough insights. So the calming meditation is also a way of supporting us in that process. But it's actually just a good thing to incorporate both in our practice, both the calming practice as well as the Vipassana. And there's no right or wrong. They're both beneficial. And both are actually part of the Noble Eightfold Path, which the Buddha points out to, that leads to the end of suffering. So both are valuable, just as valuable. And the Buddha says, just as the river Ganges slants, slopes, and inclines towards the ocean, so too a practitioner who develops and cultivates the Noble Eightfold Path slants, slopes, and inclines towards Nibbana. That means awakening, the end of suffering. So by using both, we are slanting, sloping, and inclining towards less and less suffering. Thank you. That's what I wanted to say for today.